The congressional investigation into the collapse of Enron has focused recently on the relationship between Enron and the major Wall Street investment banks. One issue investigators have been looking at is whether the bank's stock recommendations are compromised because of pressure from other parts of the organization. The experience of John Olson, a former research analyst at Merrill Lynch, has been at the center of the Senate investigation. Olson left Merrill Lynch after investment bankers at the firm complained that his cautious evaluations of Enron were costing them tens of millions of dollars. NPR's Wade Goodwin spoke with Olson and has this report.
John Olson has been working in the Houston oil and gas industry for 35 years, and back in 1998, Enron's heyday, Olson was the head of natural gas research at Merrill Lynch. Olson had been following Enron for a long time, since before Enron was Enron, in fact. The analyst was particularly wary of an accounting device Enron had grown fond of called mark-to-market accounting. It allowed the company to book possible future revenue as current profits.
You could turn day into night, black into white, things like that. I can make the case that over the last 5 years before Enron went bankrupt, that they were making hardly any earnings out of trading. That it was all coming out of their financial derivative transactions using this mark-to-market accounting.
Olson refused to recommend Enron stock. He rated it as neutral or a hold. That infuriated Enron executives Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling. They began making it clear to investment bankers at Merrill Lynch that if they wanted any of Enron's $200 million a year underwriting business, Olson's recommendations were getting in the way. Enron CEO Kenneth Lay was not shy about communicating his displeasure directly to John Olson either.
He would keep this record of every analyst, and once he told me in his own very friendly way, John, we are for our friends, and our friends are those who have strong buy recommendations on us.
Olson also began coming under fire inside Merrill Lynch. In April of 1998, two of the company's energy investment bankers complained in an internal memo to Merrill's president that Enron was freezing them out of lucrative stock offerings because of Olson's recommendations. Soon after, John Olson was gone.
Well, what happened next was a month later, Merrill Lynch and I agreed to disagree, and I was able to take early retirement plan, and I went off 3 months later and lived happily ever after.
A few months after Olson left, investment bankers at Merrill Lynch sent another memo saying the animosity they'd faced from executives at Enron had dissipated and that they were now entering into underwriting deals that would net Merrill Lynch $50 million profit. James Wiggins is a spokesperson for Merrill Lynch. Wiggins defends the company's stock recommendations.
I guess the main point that I would make is that our research about Enron was not compromised.
The analyst who replaced John Olson at Merrill Lynch did upgrade Enron stock to accumulate, but Wiggins says that was not out of step with what analysts at other companies were recommending. And Wiggins says it's possible for research analysts to wear different hats and still have the public trust their recommendations.
A research analyst at a firm like Merrill Lynch serves a number of different parts of the firm. There's a legitimate role the analyst plays in serving investment banking. There's also a legitimate role the analyst plays in advising investors. There are conflicts in that role, but those conflicts can and are managed. Clearly, there was pressure on the part of Enron for a higher rating by Merrill Lynch. And there's not any evidence that we acceded to that pressure in any significant way.
The Accounting Reform and Investor Protection Act that President Bush signed into law yesterday does not require that Wall Street firms divide investment banking and research into separate companies. It does mandate that Wall Street firms now disclose these banking relationships. David Reuter, a former chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, hopes this legislation will be enough to restore investor confidence.
Well, I happen to be a positive person, and I think that the excesses that existed in the 90s and in the Enron case and others are not typical, that we can, particularly now, have confidence that the investment bankers are going to separate functions. But I would urge everyone still to be moderately suspicious about situations in which the company is at the same time acting as investment banker and investment analyst.
Reuter concedes that trust in Wall Street has been damaged, but believes investors will eventually return if they see evidence of reform. Wade Goodwin, NPR News.